Well, good morning again. If you missed it earlier, my name's Keith, and I'm blessed to be the campus pastor here at the Springville campus of Revive. And with that said, we're just a little bit past Christmas, right? A time of gifts for many of us. So with that, let me just ask you this. Have you ever received what you would consider to have been a strange gift? You know, a gift that actually turned out to be something useful and meaningful, even though when you opened it, you were kind of like, okay, that's different. Now, the example I have may not seem like a strange gift, but it was more of a gift that I just didn't really feel was necessary. And it was a gift that I felt would end up being more of an annoyance than useful. And it was a gift for my wife that was my daughter's idea a few years back now. And the idea that my daughter had for my wife was an air fryer. An air fryer. You see, we have rather minimal counter space, and my wife and I would say overall that we're kind of minimalist, so I thought this idea of something more to sit on the counter, I thought it would really drive my wife and I a little bit bonkers, to be honest. And why did we even need an air fryer anyway? I mean, okay, we have a stove, right? We have a microwave. We have crock pots. So what would an air fryer do for us? But I'm telling you what, my daughter was convinced, and when she's convinced, you kind of go with it. Love her to death, but she really has some good points of why she's interested in things. And so we went out and we bought an air fryer. But I made sure that I kept the receipt because odds were to me that that baby was going back to the store, okay? But get this, come to find out, that air fryer, I'm not going to lie, it kind of changed our life. And for the good. I mean, and you know this if you have one, but certain foods, I'm telling you, cooked in an air fryer, they just taste better. They're like crispier and stuff. And a key for us, quicker. An air fryer like cooks things sometimes half the time that a stove would. So when I think of a strange, when I think of an unexpectedly useful gift, the air fryer rises to the top of mind for me. And so perhaps you've had a similar experience with a gift that you received. So I'm only asking you to have this concept of a strange gift on your radar, okay, as we officially begin this new sermon series today called Sincerely, where we're going to be walking through the letter of 1 Peter in our Bibles. And in fact, if you want, and I would encourage you to do this, you can get there now in your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1, that is in the New Testament of our Bible. It's near the back of it, okay? It's a few books before the book of Revelation, but then it's after the books of like James and Hebrews. And real quick, I just want to tell you, if you ever need a Bible, they are free, okay, at our Connection Center in the back. So if you need one, or if you know someone who needs one, we would love for you to take a Bible as God's gift to you, okay? Now, with that said, in this letter, Peter addresses something that you and I, that we all go through, and that something is this, suffering, suffering. I mean, can't we all just agree that life is just sometimes hard? And when it is, that can be a challenge to all areas of our life, including and perhaps specifically or especially the faith aspect or area of our life, which I would state is the most important, okay, and should in fact be the all-encompassing area of one's life, meaning that our faith should influence heavily every area of our life. But sufferings in life, they just threaten that, okay? And these difficulties or these sufferings of life, they can take on many forms. Whether it be, I don't know, being a little bit behind on the bills, or maybe sufferings looks like challenges at work, or navigating rocky relationships, or maybe it's facing really hard stages of parenting, or it could even be feeling purposeless or lonely or depressed, or maybe even dealing with physical or mental health challenges. And in saying that, just one of these forms of suffering, they can be major difficulties. But, okay, when more than one at a time come at us, my goodness, right? We can truly suffer. And I only say that to say this, that's maybe where you sit today. Maybe you are sitting in a season of suffering. And if not, I hate to bear the bad news, but you likely will be in the future. Or you have been in the past. But even with sharing that, I encourage you today to take heart, okay? Take heart, because the Bible, the Bible, the Word of God to you, the Word of God for you, including in this letter of 1 Peter, it sincerely acknowledges life's hardships. It doesn't avoid them, and it doesn't sugarcoat them. And specifically, as we will see today in this letter of 1 Peter, he will give us two helpful tools as we face suffering. And those two tools are this: godly perspective and godly encouragement. But first, before we read the word, as we start in this journey, we need a little bit of context for this letter. You see, it was written to Christians, likely, you know, not likely, but they were living in what is now modern-day Turkey, and they were in this season that I'm talking about, a season of suffering. And this was around 60 AD, around 60 years after the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And these Christians, they were facing and experiencing things like ridicule and harassment and slander for their faith. And in time, just so you know, it was only going to get worse for them. You see, Nero was the Roman emperor at this time, and over time, he and his successors, they tightened the screws significantly on Christians, eventually causing Christians to be imprisoned, to have their property confiscated, and even put to death, and often violently at that. So praise God, right? Praise God that we do not face that in our time and in our place, right? We don't face such extreme forms of persecution. But just so you know, okay, just so you know, these things do still happen elsewhere in our world today. For example, in India, Christians, they're beaten to death because of their faith. And per Christianity Today, in 2022, more than 5,600 Christians across this globe were killed for their faith. And over 124,000 Christians were forcibly displaced from their homes because of their faith, church, in Jesus Christ. And in fact, 360 million Christians, that's one in seven, church, one in seven live in nations today with high levels of persecution and high levels of discrimination. All for being followers of Jesus Christ. Now again, thankfully, we aren't currently one of them. And while that certainly puts some of what we may label as suffering into perspective, allow me to encourage us this morning to remember, okay, that suffering can take on many forms, shapes, and sizes. For it is this broad heading under which many things fall. So I say that to say this: don't feel guilty. Please don't feel guilty about your personal sufferings. Don't feel like it doesn't count or that it doesn't matter, because it does. It does, because it threatens to hinder. And maybe it already has been or is hindering your faith. So yes, I tell you today, yes, have a proper, have a healthy, have a global perspective on it. Avoid a victim mentality and mindset. But with that said, your personal suffering is just that. It's personal. And often extremely personal. And it is real for you. It is real for me. And it hurts. And it limits you from all that God has in store for you if you don't address it. So acknowledging it and dealing with it and even talking about it with people that can help, maybe even a pastor or counselors or others who have gone through similar things, all so that we can appropriately heal and get this good, godly perspective and encouragement, which is good and healthy, that's good. And let me just say this, okay? I don't know who needs to hear this today, but it's not girly, it's not soft, it's not whatever you tend to think when you consider addressing personal suffering. It takes guts. It takes guts to admit. It takes guts to talk about. It takes guts to deal with pain. It takes surrender. It takes humility to admit that you can't heal it, but that God can. It's not soft, church. But anyway, with that, let's now see what God through Peter has to say about this topic of suffering. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So right out of the gate, Peter shares some of this strong and true godly perspective to encourage his readers in the face of their suffering. I mean, did you see? Did you see what he said that God has given us as believers? He said that he has given us new birth. New birth. As a believer, new birth is yours. And if you are here today and you are not a believer, you can have new birth. You can have a new start today by just accepting Christ. You see, all of us have been born physically. I mean, we celebrate that, right? Or as you get older like me, maybe you dread that. We celebrate our physical birth each year with a physical birthday, right? But Peter here, he reminds us that as Christians, we also are born spiritually. For when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, our spirits, your spirit is reborn because we receive the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus who leads us and empowers us. Who leads us and empowers us to die to ourselves, to die to our selfish nature, and to die to our sin. And thus, we are thus made alive in Christ. Now, it's interesting to me that physical birth and suffering, they go hand in hand, don't they? I mean, think about it. Any woman who has gone through the birthing process knows what I'm talking about. I observed my wife delivering our babies, and it was an overwhelming experience for me, but especially for her. And childbirth is also an overwhelming experience for the baby, too. My point being this, the birth of a newborn is a wonderful thing. It is a gift from God, but it comes with physical difficulty. It comes with challenge, doesn't it? Well, it is the same, church. It is the same with spiritual rebirth. It is a wonderful thing. It is a gift from God. But I'm just telling you, as we go through life, we will inevitably encounter difficulty. We will inevitably encounter challenges as we are reborn area by area of our life. And as we grow in our faith, so expect it. Expect it. But with all that said, here's the good news, okay? Here's the good news that God, through Peter, is really telling you and I here today. You ready for it? Suffering, okay? Hear me now. Because we often live like it does, okay? But suffering does not define you. Suffering does not define you. Whether that be the suffering that you're dealing with as an addict, or the suffering that you're dealing with as a victim currently, or the suffering that you're dealing with physically or emotionally or mentally, at the end of the day, that does not define you. New birth does. That's what Peter is encouraging them and us here with today. Suffering does not define you. New birth does. And church, I love that Peter focuses on our identity in Christ when addressing us regarding suffering. Because I don't know about for you, but when I'm suffering, it is disorienting. And in those seasons, I have a hard time knowing, okay? A hard time knowing which direction to go in or to see what is ahead, okay? The pain just makes that so difficult to see the future, which is where the next phrase that comes right from the scripture comes in. And it is so uplifting. We, okay, those of us in Christ, and again, you can be today if you aren't. Just accept him. Just accept that he is the way, that he is the truth, he is the life. Because we, okay, those of us again in Christ, we don't just have any old new birth, church, but we have a new birth into something. And what did Peter say? Into a living hope. New birth into a living hope. And church, is there anything, okay, is there anything that can combat the disorienting, the disheartening dark clouds of suffering like hope? I don't think so. I don't think so. And it's not just a hope, mind you, that's like some far-off, distant thing alone, but the Word says a living hope. Something to wake up to expectantly and to go after every single day. Do you wake up expectant? Do you wake up hopeful yet patient, just looking for what God may do or what He may show you? Maybe start tomorrow and see what He does in your life. That's what Peter describes for our hope. Your hope in Christ, it is alive. It is well, because I'm telling you what, our hope is in the concrete life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For we can look at who He was, we can look at what He said, we can make observations as to what He did, and we can come away from that so hopeful. So hopeful no matter what life looks like now. And even beyond that, we can access His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to guide and to minister to us and to grow us through the suffering. And we can do that when? Right now. Right now. So with that said, adding to our already encouraging statement, we have this. Suffering does not define you. New birth into a living hope does. And this all came through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which required what? His death. You don't have a resurrection without a death. Reminding us again that the gift we have, this new birth into this living hope, it came by the way of what? Suffering. It came by the way of suffering, the suffering of our Savior, God Himself, beaten and dying on a cross. What a strange but unbelievably loving way that the gift came to you and I, to us, to you, through suffering, His suffering. Now with that, remember that strange gift concept that we were talking about? We're getting a little closer to understanding what that has to do with these verses, aren't we? But first, real quick, going back to our physical birth, you know, depending upon your family of origin, your earthly inheritances, they may vary from mine, and vice versa. And mind you, earthly inheritances, they are fickle, aren't they? They're here 1 minute and gone the next, maybe with one bad decision or two, or one or two bad investments. But that's not the case with our eternal inheritance, which Peter describes, because we read what? We read that it is safe. The Word said that it can never perish, spoil, or fade. In fact, let me reread that section for us, starting in the back part of verse 3. He, God, has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And listen to this, into an inheritance that can what? Never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. An inheritance that can never perish. An inheritance that never can spoil, that can never fade, and one that, mind you, is kept in heaven for you. Meaning something very important. Meaning that it is not secured by our works or our efforts, but by God. Secured by God Himself. And to that, I don't know about you, but I say praise God, don't you? Because we would mess that up, right? Wouldn't we? But no. The inheritance, our eternal inheritance, is kept for us through what? Through placing and keeping our faith in Jesus the Christ. What incredible words. What incredible words of what? Of hope for those who are suffering. We are shielded. You are shielded as a believer. And think about this. The ultimate of suffering, separation from God, will never touch those of us of faith in Jesus Christ. So no wonder, church, no wonder that Peter began our section of Scripture today with the statement, praise be, didn't he? Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So to continue our encouragement of godly perspective in today's suffering, you know what? Suffering does not define you. Can you say that with me? Suffering does not define you. New birth into a living hope and a secure inheritance does. Are you encouraged yet? I hope you are. I hope you are. I hope that this is allowing us to raise our gaze, okay, from the nearsightedness that suffering can cause, and that suffering can tend to make us forget the eternal reality that we have waiting for us. And it is then, and only then, that after giving this encouragement, that Peter addresses their current situation of suffering. So think about it. He begins, which is so intentional and powerful and appropriate, he begins by reminding them and reminding us in the face of our sufferings of all that the Christian eternally has. And then he gets into the weeds. He gets into the weeds of their current situation. Let's read it in verses 6 to 7. In all this, he writes, you greatly rejoice in all of what he just talked about. In all this you greatly rejoice, though listen, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So you remember the reference earlier, right, to that strange gift? Well, Peter here is communicating that our temporary sufferings are a strange gift. A strange gift. Because suffering through trials with God, do you know what? It makes our faith more genuine. You might even say more sincere. You see, just as gold is refined when put through the pressure of extreme temperatures, where all the impurities are stripped away, well, in a similar way, all of the impurities, or the immaturities, I might say, of our faith are stripped away through suffering as well. Through suffering with a godly perspective and suffering well. Meaning that all the facades that we put up and all the going through the motions aspects of our faith and all the superficial niceness that we plaster on top of the gospel, all that junk is burned away. It's burned away, and the result is a more and a more sincere faith and a more sincere praise, glory, and honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and not to ourselves. Because I'm telling you what, it's ultimately about him and not us. It's ultimately about him. Now, seeing suffering as a strange gift and embracing it as such, not necessarily enjoying it. I mean, who really does that? But remaining faithful and hopeful under it, seeing it as a strange gift for the growth it can bring, I'm just saying that that's like a total change of perspective for many of us. And it may be tough to wrap our head around that. But in saying that, I think a total change of perspective when it comes to suffering may just be what you need. It may just be what this world needs. I know I do. You know, when it comes to suffering, because what I do, what I tend to want to do, complain, right? Mope, lash out at others, even the innocent. Go get drunk, have too many drinks, right? I'm telling you what, whatever it is, it doesn't work. It doesn't work, it doesn't help. And it in fact creates more problems often. But with that said, if you are struggling, okay, to wrap your head around suffering as a strange gift, maybe these words today from James, okay? Another book of our Bible written by James, the half-brother of Jesus. Maybe these words might help. And this is in the Message translation or paraphrase. It's James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. It says this. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open, and it shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. So okay? Although God does the work, we, church, you and I, each and every one of us, we're to do the participating. You see, you and I, we can spend our lives resisting him and or his work when it gets painful and therefore stunt our spiritual growth, or we can allow him to shape us. We can allow him to minister us, making our faith more sincere and more mature through the difficulties, through the sufferings. Now, in saying that, it's important to clarify, I want to make sure, okay, that we know that God does not cause suffering or death or sin. In fact, he made a way for us to defeat those things through Jesus the Christ. However, what I am saying, okay, is that God, do you know what? God can use anything. He can use anything for his purposes, even the suffering that comes as a result of sin in our broken world. And believing that God can do this, I'm just telling you, it takes faith. And it takes being willing to participate with him in what he is doing. And it's not only me that is stating this and knows this, but Peter knows this too. He knows that it takes faith, which is why in the next verse he says this, verses 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, church, as we near the end of the message portion of our worship today, if you're a believer in Christ, and if you can, I'm going to ask that you would stand in a minute, okay? I'm going to ask that you would stand in a minute as we together recite a variation of this verse adopted for our declaration together as a family, okay? Now, in saying that, if you're not a believer in Christ yet, number one, I've said it a couple times today in the message, but you can be. You can be right now by accepting Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins. And you can say yes to that, and you can stand with us. You can stand with your new family of believers. Or two, if you're not a believer yet and aren't ready to receive him, that's okay, okay? You can stay seated or you can stand up, but I wouldn't force anybody to recite this with us. Just experience it, okay? That's okay. But I only beg you, and I use that word intentionally, I beg you to keep checking him out, to keep checking Christ out by maybe being here or some good Bible-believing church regularly, or maybe by reading the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But with that, let's stand. If you are a believer in Christ, let's stand. Let's stand and recite this together as a family. Though we have not seen him, we love him. And even though we do not see him now, we believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For we are receiving the end result of our faith, the salvation of our souls. You can be seated as I pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today thanking you. Thanking you that you don't sugarcoat, that you don't avoid this topic of sufferings because it touches each and every one of us. And Lord, suffering is such a challenging topic because it impacts other areas of our life, but most importantly, it threatens our faith life sometimes, and we don't want to let that happen, and neither do you want to let that happen. So we are just here today leaning into this encouragement that you gave Peter to give to people suffering so that that doesn't happen, so that we know, capital K-N-O-W, that we have new birth into a living hope and an eternity that is secure, that will never perish, spoil, or fade. So no matter what life throws at us, and specifically what it throws at us for being a Christian, let us be strong. Let us be strong. Let us stand on our faith and in our faith. We pray that we would never veer to the right or the left from that. And Lord, when we do, would we just know that we can come to you, and we can reconnect, we could just say, I'm going astray here. God, help me. And it's like the prodigal son. He will run out. He will run out and welcome us back home. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the start of this series. We pray that as it goes on and continues, that it will just be glory to you and honor to you as we engage in it and as we participate with what you're doing in each and every one of our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I want to invite the worship team forward, but as they come up, let me just say this, okay? A proper response to God's love for us is to get to know him more and more, along with his ways. And to participate in what he's able to do amidst the suffering, it takes relating to him, okay? And a main way that you and I, that we do that is through reading, processing, and applying the Bible to our very lives. For this is a primary way that he speaks to us. So with that said, we have created as a church a daily reading plan for this series. It's in a bookmark format. So I'm just saying, we think that would be a good response to this message today. To grab that bookmark, which you may have gotten on Christmas Eve or last Sunday, and begin the daily reading plan tomorrow. And to continue it throughout the week. And if you didn't get one, there's more bookmarks in the back at the Connection Center. And each day's reading, I just want you to know, it's not going to take you too long. And it's really cool because the first half of the readings, they're going to follow Peter as a disciple of Jesus Christ or as a learner of Christ, meaning when Christ physically walked this earth and Peter interacted with him in that way. And then the second half follows Peter as what we call an apostle after Christ returned to heaven, which Peter and others were then sent on mission to be messengers of Jesus Christ. And that's going to be great to get to really know Peter in this way, this great person of faith in God. And it's going to be really great to look at what it looked like for him to be sent on mission. And you know why that's going to be great? Because that's God's calling for you too. We are all to be sent on mission. And I just believe that God's going to speak to many of us regarding that through our reading of this plan. So again, grab that reading plan at the back, get started tomorrow, and just to let you know, to help you structure the reading a little bit and to help you journal through it, I want you to remember, if you've been here before, the SOAP method. We've taught on it. We've used it before. If you don't know what the SOAP method is, it's an acronym, okay? And it just helps you to journal, where S stands for Scripture. It means the Scripture that you're looking at. Well, we've already given that to you on the bookmarks. So grab a journal, write down the Scripture, and then read it. And then as you're reading it, you move to the O, and that's jotting down the observations you have as you read it. And then next is the A. And the A's a biggie. They're all big, but A stands for application. How will you apply what you read? How will you apply what the Lord spoke to you in that time with him? And I say that to say this: remember that we read and we learn for transformation. We don't read and learn for information, but transformation. And then the P stands for prayer. So you're going to close with a prayer as you read through this and just thank God for what he's shown you. And you're also going to pray for his Spirit to help you apply what you learned, what you read, what you observed. With that, I'd ask you to stand and we can worship through song.